needs. I need something like this. You know, nothing wrong with, you know, on your phone. That's cool, too. Just for me, I just like, I don't know. I just like having it in my hand. So, because I'm old. And so there are three points that I want to share today with you. God sees why you minister or serve. God rewards based on your motivation. And serving gifts without love is just works. And so I want to look at the first point here. And you can go with me to 1 Samuel chapter 16. And we're going to look at verses 5, 6, and 7. 1 Samuel 16, verses 5, 6, and 7. And that point there is God sees why you minister. God sees, and another word for minister is serve. And so let's take for a moment the idea of ministry out of the equation. And just put, God sees why you serve. God sees why you serve. So 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 5, I'm going to read from the Amplified. It says, "And he said, 'In peace, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.'" This is Samuel speaking. He's going to anoint a new king because God is getting rid of Saul, so to speak. And so he told Samuel to go, and we're going to find a new king. He also consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. And so he was asking Jesse to bring all your sons. One of those sons is going to be the new king. So what happened when they had come, he looked at Eliab, the eldest son, and thought. He looked at him and thought. Have you ever been in life and you looked at a handsome man, those of you who are women, or looked at a fine woman, those of you who are men, and said, "Oh, yeah, I bet she's nice. I bet he's nice." You said that. You've said that. Don't lie to yourself. And so he looked at this man and he said this. It says, "Surely," everyone say surely. "Surely the Lord's anointed is before me." This got to be the guy. It's got to be the guy. But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature." He was tall. You know, Israelite, he had that nice complexion. Right, probably handsome, right? Oh, I know he's the one. Sometimes you think that a handsome person or the fine woman is the anointed one. Do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. You see, man only looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. As men and women, we are consumed with looks and talent and abilities. And at times, these attributes can often cloud your mind, your vision, your perspective, because you're just overwhelmed with their looks or their ability. Sometimes you see someone who can sing so well, and you say, they must be anointed by God. Not always the case. Amen? See, God is not moved by looks. He's not moved by talent or abilities. He looks past all of that and looks at the heart. Because God sees the heart, he knows why you minister. He knows why you serve. See, you can fool me all day. Amen? Go with me to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. And we're going to look at verse 7, and most of you know this verse, but we'll look at it. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. All right, if you have it, say amen. It says there in the Amplified, do not be deceived. Meaning, don't be tricked. Don't be fooled. God is not mocked. What he's saying is this, you can't get over on God. You can come and you can serve and you can minister all you want, but God knows why you're doing it. He sees right through the song that you're singing, the time you're working at the shelter. Listen, you can hardly serve during Christmas and Thanksgiving at shelters because there is an abundance of people who want to get some guilt off of them, right? God knows why you minister. And you may fool everyone else. Who am I? Fool me, okay. But God knows your heart. Do not be deceived. Do not be tricked. Whatever you're sowing, you're going to reap. And if you reap into the flesh, you're going to reap from the flesh. Do not trick yourself, or do not let the enemy trick you into thinking that God can only see the good works that you are doing and not the reason behind it. God sees the reason behind why you do what you do. Huh? He sees it. You're not fooling God. If love is not your motivation, God sees that. Number two, God will reward based on your motivation. Any ulterior motivation will be brought to the light. Go with me to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8 and verse 17. Luke 8 and verse 17. And it says there in verse 17, for there is nothing hidden that will not become evident. Now, that's a scary verse right there. Huh? When you think about it, there's nothing hidden. And I looked at this verse on many occasions, and I said, Lord, everything? Everything? So just think about everything? Every ulterior motive that you have for serving, God's going to bring it to the light. God's going to see through why you serve. Anything and everything that you do in ministry will be brought to the light. Anything and everything that you do in life will be brought to the light. See, what is the motivation for your service? What is the motivation for your service? Now, the ministry is in the church, but also in the home. Now, let me stop here for a moment and talk about our relationships. In fact, next Sunday, we're going to have a number of couples up here that are going to help me preach next Sunday, talk about relationships and love. Wives, what is the reasoning behind what you do for your husbands? Let me be equal. Husbands, what is the reasons behind what you do for your wives? Remember, any ulterior motivation be brought to the light. Amen? As husbands, we may do a little extra around the house, because our motivation is having sex later that day. Oh, well, it's quiet in here too, huh? It's Super Bowl Sunday, and y'all just quiet like a church mouse. Oh, my. Huh? Shall I move on to the next point? Move on. Huh? Listen, we wash dishes, vacuum the carpet. Go rake the leaves. We don't care about that carpet. We don't care about them dishes. We don't care about them leaves in the front yard. Amen? But in our mind is that if we do this, we may have sex tonight. All right. As wives, you may do a little extra yourself. Because there is something that you want from your husband. You may want him to take you somewhere or to do something else for you or to buy you something. And so you do a little extra. Got that nice meal that you know he likes. And you ain't cooked in a few days. And he's somewhat surprised because you cooked that meal, his favorite meal. You see, your motivation, listen to me carefully. Your motivation is not because you love him or her. Your motivation is, I want something. And oftentimes in ministry, our motivation is, I want to be seen. I want people to notice me. And so I want to serve this capacity. God says, don't try and get over on me. I will not be mocked. I see what you're doing and why you're doing it. And you may fool the other members of that local body, or you may fool your husband, or you may fool your wife, but God says, I know. And I'm going to reward you based on that. Amen? I'm not done with that yet, but go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Now, look at verse 13 through 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 13 through 15. It says here in verse 13, each one's work will be clearly shown for what it is, for the day of judgment will disclose it, because it will be revealed with fire, and that fire will test the quality and character and worth of each person's work. If any person's work which he has built on this foundation, that is the outcome of his own effort, remains and survives this test, he will receive a reward. But if any man's work is burned up by the test, he will suffer the loss of his reward. Listen, you can do all that you want to do, but God says this test of judgment, this fire, it will determine what's really real, what's really precious or not. And sometimes the work that you do, the motivation behind it won't add to your reward because God knows why you're doing it. And you're thinking that you're doing something, and God says, I'm not even moved by that. And so husbands and wives, be very careful while you serve each other. Allow me to say this, husbands and wives. When our motivation is wrong, whether your husband or your wife, you're still wrong. You're still wrong. If you're not motivated, if love is not motivating you to do that meal, to clean that garage, to rake up those leaves, to whatever, if your motivation is not love, you're wrong. The works are great, but no reward. And at some point in time, that will come to the light. But both sides are wrong. Now, I want to say something here. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And if you have this, amen. All right, who's a good reader? Who can read out loud? Who's not? Who, all right, Tina, read verse 1. Uh-huh. Right. So here's, he's talking to the saints right now. He says, be imitators of God. Can you agree with that? This is the Bible, right? Imitators of God. Imitate means to act like, to mirror. Are you ready? To act like or to mirror. It's telling us as men and women of God, we're to act like or mirror God. Amen? We agree? Amen. All right. Go with me now to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, the most familiar verse in the Bible. John chapter 3 and verse 16. All right, John chapter 3 and verse 16. Now remember, Ephesians 5, 1 says, we're to imitate or mirror God. St. John chapter 3, verse 16, what does it say? Right, so here, John 3:16, God loved, so he gave. What was the motivation for God's giving? God's motivation for giving was love. Who are we called to imitate? What should our motivation be for good works? Has to be. Amen? It has to be. We have to be so motivated by love that we will give. Now watch this. In Romans chapter 5, I think it is. Romans chapter 5. So write that down in your notes. Romans chapter 5. I think it's verse 8. Romans chapter 5. Yeah, Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. Romans chapter 5 for verse 8. All right. So our motivation for serving at home, at work, in ministry has to be love. We are called to imitate God. God's motivation for giving is love. Now this statement here I must share with you. How about if the people that I'm called to love are not nice? It don't matter, you said, huh? So Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says here, but God clearly shows and proves his own love for us by the fact that we were still sinners, enemies with God. Christ died for us. So watch this. We're called to imitate God. God is motivated by love. He gives because he loves, right? It doesn't matter whether that person loves me back or not, or responds well to me when I give. I'm called to give love to them anyway. Amen? Listen, he's on the cross, hanging up there, completely naked, exposed. There are folks screaming, yelling, making fun of him. And he's on the cross for himself? No, for us. Amen? All of us, I've said this before, all of us at that point in time would have done what? I'm coming down. Amen? I'm coming down because you don't appreciate what I'm doing. And how many times in our homes and our churches we've had this concept, you don't appreciate what I'm doing, so I'm going to stop doing. I told him I wanted that garbage taken out. He didn't take out the garbage. I'm going to bed tonight and facing the wall. He better not touch me. You're wrong. I ain't taking her nowhere. Fix my dinner. Shoot. She know I got to go through a commute for an hour and a half every day. Forget her. She said, I ain't doing it. While we were yet sinners, he proved his love by giving us his son. Amen? While he was hanging on the cross, people making fun of him, but he hung there because of love. Love has to be what motivates you. If love does not motivate you, you can only do selfish ministry for so long. You can only do selfish work at home for your wife, for your husband, for so long. If it's not motivated by love, at some point in time, you're going to stop. You see, this selfish ministry or selfish service, it's based on self. And you only have a finite amount of grace and kindness in your own flesh that you're willing to offer to that person. Because at some point in time, they're going to cross that imaginary line you made. Right? We say, you done gone too far now. You done gone, no, you done gone too far now. In our minds, we say that. We've made that imaginary line. With God's love, there is no line. There is no line. You see, when God's love motivates you, you have an infinite amount of ability and grace to love because you're getting it poured into you from God. Now, watch this. You can't do this on your own. You need God's love in you to enable you to love this way. Huh? When you're at home, listen, one person said they celebrate anniversaries. They said this, celebrate because last year I wanted to kill you. So we're going to celebrate because you ain't dead. You only have a certain amount of ability in your flesh. You need God's love in order to do this type of loving. Hmm? Get on, y'all. You can fake for so long, but the real reason, it's going to come out at some point in time, right? Oh, it's going to come out. Why are you doing what you're doing? And everybody's going to know it was selfish reason. That doesn't last. You need God's love, that power to be lived out in you to allow you to love others because everyone is not loving. Everyone not lovable. Amen? At some time, you yourself weren't lovable. Glory to God. There was a time in my life, my daddy told me, and I'm grown. I'm like, before I met Miss Ola, I'm going to clarify that. I'm a changed man since then. But my daddy said to me, oh, I didn't know you were so evil. That's some harsh words, right? Harsh words. You know, you can only fake so long. At some point in time, you got to take that mask off, right? You can fool so long, you know. But after a while, the real you will come out. Amen. You try to keep it covered, you know. We don't see it on Sundays. You got your best face on Sundays, man. But if we were to follow you with a video camera, we'd see. Glory to God. You can only do selfish ministry so long because selfish ministry is based out of self, and you can't do this love ministry with your own flesh. You need God's love. Amen? Point three, service gifts without love, they're just work. They're just works. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. First Corinthians chapter 13. I'm going to start at verse 1 and read a few verses. And it says there, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, And Amplified says, for others, growing out of God's love for me. If you would begin to grasp the love that God has for you, it would enable you to love others. I believe I'm a forgiving person. And one of the reasons I believe that is I'm reminded of everything I've been forgiven of and the wrong that I've done to other people. And God has so graced me to be here, knowing how I've damaged the lives of other people. It now allows me to be forgiving to others. Now watch this. In that light, people who see you assume that you're soft. They assume that people are getting over on you. You're not blind to what they're doing. You see what they're doing. But you are reminded of your past and what has been forgiven of you. And you say to yourself, how then can I hold that against them when I've been forgiven so much by God? Are you listening to what I'm saying? The devil will try to tell you, oh, you too soft, you too easy, you too kind. They just fooling you. No, I'm just forgiven. And that same forgiveness that's been given to me, I must allow to flow out of me to others. Because of Ephesians 5:1, I've got to imitate him. Amen? I've got to imitate him. It says, if I speak with tongues of men and angels and don't have love, I have become only a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal, just an annoying distraction. Though I can speak in other tongues, and I do. Though I can speak in my known language, and I do. If my motivation is a fleshly one, this work that I'm doing, God says, I don't even care about it. What I do has to be motivated for my love for him and my love for you. And if it's not, I'm just making noise. Amen? Verse 2 says, if I have the gift of prophecy and speak a new message from God to the people and understand all mysteries and possess all knowledge, and if I have all sufficient faith so that I can remove mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If what motivates you is you and to promote yourself, I don't care how many times you speak in tongues. I don't care how much prophetic words you give. I don't care if you got faith to move mountains, to heal the sick. God says, I ain't moved by it. I ain't moved by it. Because you're doing it to promote yourself. This last point here says, when you are willing to love, God will give you an opportunity to serve. Listen to this. When you are willing to love, God will give you an opportunity to serve. There was a young lady that came through these doors a few months in the past. She didn't know it then, but God had set things up. She didn't know it. She brought her friend to this church, all right? She was willing to be used by God and bringing her friend to this church. And I'm going to ask Tasha, why don't you come up here? And Sandra, why don't you come up here? And Jermaine, why don't you guys come up here? Come up here quickly. Quickly. Grab a mic. Grab a mic. Help them up. Man.
I'm usually not dominated when I'm up here, but I am dominated. Come, bring Tasha, get close. So, you're friends with Darnisha, her kids' friends, and I'm sure that played a huge part in you coming here that Sunday. You came here. How did you, and give Tasha the mic. You're all right. We're all right. You're all right. What motivated you to bring your friend here that Sunday?
God, actually.
He did. You didn't know. You were being obedient because God moved upon you to bring your friend, Sandra. And I want to say this in front of all these people here. We are grateful that you listened to the Lord and brought your friend to this place. We didn't know who she was. You had no idea what she was going through until after the service. God used you. And God will continue to use you. An evangelist is not one who always preaches on a street corner from here. Sometimes an evangelist is one just on their job, because you guys were co-workers in the past, weren't you? And you're just obedient. Listen, all of us can be evangelists, right? Doesn't, you don't need to be up here, right? You could be on your job and just sharing, and you did. And so you brought it here that Sunday. I remember that you came up for prayer that Sunday. I remember that Sunday. Sandra is leaving, going back to Germany this week, right? How has your experience been since your friend Tasha brought you here? Can you give her the mic?
Mind-blowing, I would think, and just out of this world. I've gotten so much love here from Lighthouse and small groups, Joni and her angels. I'm just moved, and I hate to leave you all, but it's health that's going to bring me back home to my family.
Right. So there was a time, I want you to hear and understand how ministry is. You know, we sing and dance, and that's great, but real ministry will happen once we leave here, right? And we go out there. And so there was a time when you were in the hospital a few weeks ago. And the ladies, they came to your aid.
Yes.
How did they do that?
Sister Velma, she came right away. The time I was, before I even was admitted to the hospital, you showed up. I was for 2 weeks in a hospital. My son was covered with food, transport to school, back from school. It was amazing. I would have not made it 2 weeks in a hospital, you know, without all of your love.
Yeah. You see, love motivates. When you love, God will give you an opportunity to serve. Amen? And so, Jermaine, we're going to miss you. We're going to miss you. I wanted you to know, and I know you know it already, that... This is real life. We love you. And the love that we have for you motivates us to serve you. Because when we serve you, we serve him. And I want a few of the ladies who are here today who've kind of walked alongside of Sandra to come up. And we're going to pray for her. And just stand by her. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come on up. Come on up. Come on up. This is life. Huh? It's not always fair. And again, what we're doing here, we may not be able to change anything, but she knows she's not alone.
And just knowing that you're not alone enables you to take another step. I can make it another day. Amen. Because I'm not by myself. And so I'm going to pray over you, Sandra and Jermaine, as you get ready to take your leave. How you feeling, Jermaine? You got mixed feelings. I understand. So on my way to the church today, the Lord just reminded me something I'm going to share with you. They have different names for God. One is El Elyon. And one of the ideas behind that is he who has the final word. And the Lord wanted me to share that with you. He who has the final word. I know what others have said. I know what doctors have said. I know that. But the God that we serve has the final word. And I want you to rest on that. Let me pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity you've given us to love on this young lady and her son. God, thank you for Tasha's willingness to listen and obey your word, your move. God, you are the God of Benicia as well as the God in Germany. And so, God, though she's flying home to Germany, you're God over there. And pray that you will give her rest for her mind, that she can rest in your ability, that you have the final word. We pray for your healing anointing, oh God, to rest upon her from the very crown of her head to the soles of her feet. I pray, God, that you would use this test. Yes, it will not go to waste, but it will be a testimony of your goodness, your kindness, and your grace. Let Sandra and Jermaine shout your praises in Germany about how good you have been to her. And God, we are expecting a good report, oh God, about Sandra. And so we thank you that she is covered by the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you have saved her. Thank you that you have written her name down the Lamb's Book of Life, never ever to be removed, oh God. And even right now, you are preparing a place for her. So we say thank you for Sandra. Hallelujah. For the gift that she has been to us. Hallelujah. And so we give you honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Give this group a hand, everyone. You may be seated. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. See, this is life, this is ministry. See, when you are willing to love, God will always give you an opportunity to serve. Serving is not about self-promotion, it's not about getting your own way, it's not about you looking good. Serving is about humbling yourself before God, being willing to love on people. And I want to thank this church for loving on Sandra. And again, I'm very thankful to the Lord for the opportunity to demonstrate his love to others. God is good, isn't he? God is good. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. God is good. God is good. And so, again, let me restate this. This is why this is so important. You can't get this at home. This is where you find out about different needs and what's going on in other people's lives, this and in your small group. And so that's why you need to belong. I'm going to make this final analogy, and then we're going to have Gail come up, and she's going to give us a closing prayer. If you barbecue and you use coals, listen, the majority of the coals, they stay hot as long as they're with each other. You pull one out, it's going to die out fast. it lasts a whole lot longer when it's connected to other coals. Amen? And so I encourage you to stay connected. There's a men's meeting in 2 weeks. I'm going to challenge all the men to sign up. I'm going to be at that meeting, all right? And be a part. Don't be separate. Be a part. Don't be separate. Be a part of what God is doing. Amen? Stand to your feet, everyone. Sister Gail, why don't you come up? Hallelujah.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are amazed at how great you are. We are amazed at how great you are. And we thank you that you love us in spite of us. I pray this week we will be good representatives of you in this town, in our lives, that we won't embarrass you, that we'll just be good, and that we will make use of the power of the Holy Spirit that lives within us. I pray a special prayer for Sandra and her boy child as they leave us, that you would give them traveling grace, you would give them comfort, that you'd make them comfortable on that long trip. And we know that you will, because you love them too. We don't have to say Sandra's name. We can just say the one that you love is going home to be with her family. We thank you that you love her and that you have allowed us to love her. We appreciate what you do. And we know that you're able to do way more, way, way more than we can imagine or hope or pray or anything because of your power that's in work in us. And so it's to you that we give all the glory and honor this day. And it's in your name I pray. Amen.